Hello, everybody. This is Dawn with the Nash Chat, and I am so, so thrilled to have Kyrus Hudson from Danita's Children with us here today. Hi, Kyrus.
Hi, Dawn.
So, Kyrus, you and I don't know, we were talking about this. We sort of connected just online. I had reached out to you to learn more about all the things you're doing in Haiti, and just so thankful to have connected with you and to be friends with you now.
I know, it's so neat. Just thinking back to when we met up at Starbucks to see all that's happened just with you too the past couple of years. So just exciting to see all of it.
Don't you think it's so cool how sometimes like people, your stories just kind of like get woven together, or you see different people at different times and you're connected by that? I don't know. I always just think that's really cool.
It is. And I feel like, I mean, Nashville is such a great connector of people, and it's like a small town and well, big town, but feels like a small town. So it's just neat to see all the connections that have taken place. So I'm just honored to be on this today.
Well, thank you. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You grew up some here in Nashville. Give us a little bit of your bio.
Yeah, so I've kind of had an interesting life. I was born in Wisconsin and then moved to California, Northern California. And my dad's a doctor, so his job kind of took us different places. And then I moved to Kentucky and then Jackson, Tennessee. And then we sort of just ended up in Nashville in my high school years and graduated CPA, Christ Presbyterian Academy here. And so Nashville's just been like my home. And even though I've lived different places, and after I graduated high school, I moved to New York. And then I moved to Haiti, which is where I've been full time for the past almost 17 years. I moved there in 2002. So I've kind of lived all over, and it's been an interesting life.
Well, that's wonderful and a beautiful story of different places. I feel like when you do get to experience different places and cultures, I don't know, it just kind of like makes a beautiful like patchwork to me. I don't know if that makes sense, but you just gather those different little pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I think any transition in life is so hard, and each move that we made was really hard. The move to Nashville was actually the hardest because I had been living in Jackson and had friends and school and everything. And then when we had to move here in 10th grade, it was just, transition was extremely hard, but it ended up being the best blessing in my whole life, Nashville, and all the people that God's connected me with. So yeah, those seasons of transition are hard, but the blessing is beyond the horizon is much, much bigger than what you can see.
I think we have to go through those hard and those changes and those trials. I think it just kind of like sharpens us in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
So how did you end up in Haiti? Tell us kind of how that story began.
Yeah. So I had, you know, like I said, I kind of moved everywhere, and I really always had the heart, always had the desire to be a missionary. I always wanted to work with children, especially orphans. And I grew up, my mom actually is from Greece. She was born in Greece, and she has an amazing, amazing story. And she was put in an orphanage when she was born and was adopted by just a sweet American couple when she was younger, and it moved to the States and grew up in Wisconsin. And then years later ended up going back to Greece just for a trip, and just in situations and circumstances only God could have created, she ended up being connected with her birth family and then went back to the same orphanage that she grew up in. And the same lady that took care of her when she was younger was still working there almost 25 years later. And so she just made a promise to them, each child, picked them up and made a promise and said, one thing, you know, I will never forget where I came from, and one day I'll do something in your honor. So she came back to the States, and I was about 3 years old at the time, and ended up just having her own ministry just on the side. She was a full-time nurse and a mom of us three, and had a ministry on the side where she just helped just local like foster care children or orphans in her own town or immigrants. And so I tell that story just to share my story, because it's a huge part of just what gave me the desire to do what I do. And so I grew up, I mean, privileged, we lived nicely, but also grew up almost every weekend going to visit people that were less fortunate and people that just needed extra, not just things, but they just needed extra love. So growing up, I just always wanted to work with children and wanted to be a missionary. Every time a missionary would come to church or wherever I was like at the edge of my seat. Just, I was like, this is what I want to do one day. And specifically wanted to work in an orphanage, and always had the desire to care for children that just needed a mom. And so fast forward to just high school, and was about to graduate CPA and was going to go off to college, and just really felt like those couple months before graduation just started to feel unsettled about what I was going to do, unsettled about moving forward and going off to college. And it was a really weird thing for me, because I'm like, well, this is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to go off to college, and this is where I'm going to go and meet my future husband and get married and then one day be on the mission field. And so I ended up just deciding to stay in Nashville that first year and going to a community college at night and working at the mall and at a mortgage company, and really just asking God, like, what am I doing? What am I here for? And that just led me to go to New York and work with a great inner city ministry there. And while I was there, I'd been there for almost 3 years and kind of came to a time where I was like, okay, I think I want to go back to school and I really wanted to finish college. And at that time I had met Danita. Danita is the founder of Danita's Children, and she had moved to Haiti in 1999. And we're actually celebrating our 20-year anniversary this year. And I was about 19 years old the first time I met her, and I was living in New York, and she came, and just her stories of the children. She had just started the children's home in Haiti, and I was just blown away. I was like, I have got to go visit her and see what she's doing. So at the same time that I was planning a trip to Haiti, I was also looking at different colleges in New York, and ended up going to Haiti in 2002, just on a mission trip for 1 week. And when I was there, it was just, I just knew that this feels like home. This is where I'm called to be. And so I came back home and just prayed about it and ended up moving to Haiti 6 months later in September 9th, 2002.
Wow. What a journey. Yeah. And just, again, how the ways that God interweaves people and just stories, and how he used Danita, and now you've been there mm-hmm. for so long in Haiti, and I just love all the connections.
Yeah. And yeah, it's amazing.
What, tell us a little bit more about Danita's Children, what all you do there, the services offered.
Yeah. So Danita's Children, it was started, like I said, 20 years ago by Danita Estrella Watts. And our main focus is children. And so it started out as a children's home. She had been volunteering, just going back and forth across the border. We live right on the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And she had just really the first year just volunteered in churches and just walking the streets and just really wondering, what am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? What's my purpose? And just had a defining moment at a little cafe right across the border one day. And just God just opened up the doors, and she ended up starting to rent a home and just taken children that had been orphaned. And so that's how the children's home started, just really with one child. And that's what we tell people, like, you come now and you see all the things that we're able to do, but it really started with one person and one child and the feeding of one child. And that has led us to be able to do what we do. So we are located on the northeast part of Haiti, about an hour from Cap Haitien. And we have a children's home for about 100 children. A lot of them have been raised with us since they were toddlers. And we have 13 special needs children, and all of them have been abandoned in different areas of Haiti. And so we work closely with child services for them to come to us. So we have a special needs home, and then we have a higher education program, which about 25 of our kids are in college or planning to go to college. So that's the heart of what we do as a children's home, just really raising them to be leaders and empower them to one day become leaders in their communities and their nation and around the world. So that's
which I love children's that because, home. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that before about training them up to come back in their communities to be leaders, because I feel like sometimes, in our American ways, we like to say, oh, let's, you know, bring them here and give them this different, you know, atmosphere of life, mm-hmm. but really, they are so proud of their home and their community, that it's great to empower them with the skills needed to be leaders there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, nine of our kids are actually studying in the States, and they all have a desire to come back and start businesses and start ministries. And it's just neat to see them be able to just have their dreams and thrive. And one thing that's one memory that I have that's been really special is a few years ago, our kids were on a traveling choir tour, and there was about 15 of them that were chosen. And so they were in the States for 9 months. And before that, we were wondering, like, how is their experience going to be if they're in the States and, you know, away from Haiti and exposed to all of the things that America offers? Is it going to be hard to come back? And so we just really believed that it was all going to work out. And so after about 9 months, they came back to Haiti, and we had a big homecoming celebration for them. And, you know, during that time that they were away, they just kept saying, "We miss home, we miss home." And the night that they came home, we all were in a big room and had a band and food and everything, and just welcomed them home. And so many of them, when they walked in to the room and saw all their brothers and sisters and saw all of us, they just were so overcome with emotion just from being back home that they were crying. And it really just stuck out to me that this is home for them. You know, this is our desire. We want to create a family, not an orphanage. We want to create a family. And so that's just, it's been amazing to see that, especially the past few years, to see just the family that we have down there with the children in our home.
And that definitely comes across whenever I see you all's posts or read your emails are on the website. It does seem like a family. And I see you as this mom to all these children, and you've cared for over 100 children as your own. And it's been full of ups and downs. Tell us a little bit about how your Haiti family rallies together through the good and bad. I know you've had celebrations, like a wedding. One of the girls just got married. There's been harder times with losing someone. I know y'all have dance parties all the time and lots of celebrations. So kind of give us the insight on what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there almost 17 years. So when I look back at just all the things and all the memories, it's really special to see, just in life in general, but it's special to see like what happens when there's something to celebrate and then when there's something to grieve, and how everybody just comes together. And we've all been together. I mean, we've all been through a lot together, and all of our kids have experienced loss in some way, and really hard loss. And so they love deeply and they care deeply, and they really are the most amazing children. But the past few years, we've had just some really hard losses. And personally, in my life, in 2015, I have two brothers, and my youngest brother had moved to Africa, and he really wanted to do mission work similar to what I'm doing, and ended up getting sick and passed away suddenly at the age of 27 from an infectious disease while he was serving over there. And I got a phone call while I was living in Haiti early one Saturday morning about what had happened. And those were some, obviously, my hardest times, deepest, darkest times, but it also showed me just how amazing that our kids are. And so many of them, I would just sob, and they're, you know, they would just hug me and I would just sob, and they were the ones that comforted me. And I love, one of my favorite verses is in 2 Corinthians, where it says that, you know, God comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort others. And I feel like in our family down there, what we've been able to create, that's really the heart of it, is, you know, when one's weak, then the other one's strong. And so that was personally just a, you know, it still is a very hard thing to deal with. Grief, you never get over. You just learn how to live with it. And even just a few weeks ago, we had a huge tragic loss with one of our boys that had recently gone through our transitional program and had transitioned off campus and had a, ended up passing away at the age of 21. And that was a huge shock to all of us, and just very, very hard. And at the same week, we also had the first wedding of one of our kids, and she was 26. So in the same week, we had a funeral on Tuesday, and then we had a wedding on Saturday. And it's just hard to even put it into words. That was just about 2 weeks ago. But just seeing how everybody has rallied together, and how we all grieve together, but then also we were able to celebrate each other. And losing a brother has helped me and has helped me encourage our kids as well, as they've lost one of their own too. So it's a super fun place. I mean, like you said, we have dance parties and we try to make the most of every opportunity that we have to have fun. But it's just life. I mean, I think all of us, no matter if you live in Haiti or you live in America or Nashville, you can experience joy and sorrow at the same time. And I think as you get older, you realize that's even more prominent. You will usually have something amazing right. happening and something really hard happening at the same time. And trying to find the sure. balance between that is difficult.
Absolutely. And I think the comfort in grief is that it does make us stronger, and often it brings family even closer together as you walk through those valleys together. And it's, you know, I just think it kind of gives me goosebumps to think right after the funeral, you had such a wonderful celebration to go into. And so I feel like when he does put us through those hard times, there are joyful moments along the way that kind of keep us going.
Mm-hmm. And God really knows what you need at the right time. I mean, I think when all this first happened, we thought, how are we all going to be able to do this and be celebratory? But to be honest, it ended up being the biggest blessing in the midst of such a hardship, and gave all of us a reason just to celebrate. And his memory was there, and they honored him in such a sweet way. So it really is, you know, the most important thing, I think, as a parent and as a mom of all these kids, there's a lot of people that help raise them, but is for your kids to see how you handle grief and how you handle hardships and how you handle challenges, and not sugarcoat it, but also just, you know, set an example for them of how do you go through this and not be bitter and not be angry, but also use it as something that's going to, like you said, propel you to do better things and to comfort others in their trouble, because there's always going to be someone down the road. You know, there's going to be someone that you need to minister to, you need to comfort. And if you are able to have a good perspective during your time, you know, of hardship, and your kids see that, it's easier for them to do the same thing.
And it makes me think back to your mom and what an example she was to you and your siblings, and how two of her children, and I'm not sure what your other brother does, but how two of her children grew up and went on into the mission field. I think that's just such a good reminder to everyone who works with children as a parent, just to really show your kids and lead by example, because they are truly watching you, and you never know the impact of what that could be. I recently had on Emily Richards from Show Hope, who's Stephen Curtis Chapman's daughter, and she was sharing a story of, you know, how she went on a mission trip and adoption got into her heart, and how their family has just really taken that and, you know, made such a difference. So I think it matters.
Yeah. Yeah. She actually went on a mission trip to Haiti. It was in Haiti that just really sparked the desire for adoption. So she has an amazing story.
Yes.
But I think, I mean, like you said, you're setting an example. I mean, I think when people ask me, how did you get into your work? I really feel like it goes back to my mom and just the example that she has set. And obviously the Lord has helped me, you know, get into this calling, but I remember, I tell the story a lot, but it was really pivotal. You know, the first time that I remember just having a heart for someone, and a lot of that had to do with just watching my mom. But I was in Walmart. I was like 8 years old, and it was Christmas, and I had worked, and I had like $25. I was doing chores and had money. And, I think it was like 2 days before Christmas, and we were in the line to check out, and there was a lady, and my mom just looked at her and said, "How's your Christmas going?" And she just was really sad and started to tear up. And I remember just as a little girl standing there and just looking at that, thinking, well, it's Christmas. Like, how can somebody be sad during such a happy time? And I had my $25, and we walked away, and I told my mom, I want to give this money to this lady. And so we walked away and had a little envelope, and then I put the money in there with a little note, and my mom put her phone number in there, and I just put no, I don't remember what her name was, but just to whatever her name was, and then from Jesus. And that little act of kindness, that little act of compassion ended up being such like a transformation in her life, just to see like somebody cares about me. And it's not just the person, right. It's God cares about me. And so long story short, she ended up going back to church, calling my mom, ended up, rededicating her life to God, and he restored relationships in her life. And so I think a lot of people think, you know, you have to do something big, or you have to have lightning in the sky that say, go here, do this. And it's really just those simple acts of kindness, those simple, opportunities that can spark something much bigger. So
I don't know where absolutely. That
came from, but I just feel like it's just a good story to share with people, because it's just those little things.
Definitely, because, you know, everyone may not be called to the mission field, or they may not be called to adopt or to foster, but we are all called to love one another. And mm-hmm. that can be done in so many ways, whether it's just opening the door for someone and saying, hi, how's your day? You know, mm-hmm. you don't know what that person's going through, because we've talked about, everybody's going through the joys and the sorrows every day in life. And you just never know what a kind word or a kind gesture will mean to someone, and how, mm-hmm. like the lady you're talking about, how just by giving her that and sharing, really sparked her into a new direction and changed her life in a big way by such a sweet and caring gesture.
Yeah. That's so true.
Well, speaking of kindness and sharing, where can our listeners find out about more about Danita's, and how can they get involved? What are some ways that, some tangible things that they could do?
So there's, like I said earlier, we have a children's home, but also there's a whole lot of other things that we do. We have a school on our campus. So we have about a 5-acre campus, and it has the children's homes and then a school for about 350 children. And our school targets really the poorest of the poor. A lot of the kids, some of the kids now that are in our school, they've gone through our medical center and our malnutrition center. And we provide like the uniform material for the kids, and education and medical care and dental care. So that's one area that another area of our ministry. But then there's also a feeding program, and we serve about 16,000 meals a month in the feeding program. And we have a church, and then we have a children's hospital, which has just been a really amazing thing that we've done the past few years. And it's come in stages. So we started really small, and now we have a malnutrition ward. So we have children that come from all over the country to be in our malnutrition center. And some of them come and stay for 1 to 3 months, depending on the severity. And we just built an operating room, so we've been able to do about 15 surgeries in the past year. So it's really busy now. We just have been able to do so much in the past few years. And there's so many ways to get involved. One of the biggest ways, you know, if you go on our website is www.danitaschildren.org. And if you click on get involved, there's a lot of different ways that you can get involved. And one of the biggest ways is just sponsoring a child. I know there's so many sponsorship programs, and just from being in Haiti almost 17 years, I've seen just that the impact that one person can make in the life of a child. And it can sound cliche, but it really, really is true. I've personally seen it. I've seen just how happy our kids are when they get a letter, and so many of them, even the ones that are like 20, 24 years old, they have saved all the letters their sponsors have given them. But there's just something special about someone that you've never met caring for you and loving you. And that's one of the biggest ways that people can get involved, just on a personal level. And it's $35 a month. And that helps care for their medical needs and dental needs, and their education and staff and school and all that. So that's one of the biggest ways that people can get involved. And then there's just other ways, like I have several children, and we call it child champions. I have several friends that have children that have used, whether it's like their birthdays. I just had a friend that has a daughter that's turned 11, and she used her birthday to raise money for Danita's children. And I love seeing that. I love seeing the children get involved. And I think mainly that's because my mom got me involved in different causes when I was younger. And it really helped shape just my perspective, just in the world. So there's a whole lot of other ways you can get involved too. One of the other ways for sure is just prayer, you know, praying for all of us down there and sure. just, and our kids too.
Absolutely. Well, lots of great ways. And like you said, go to danitaschildren.org. Is it .org?
.org. Mm-hmm. And that's D-A-N-I-T-A-S, danitaschildren.org.
Lots of wonderful ways to give back and help out this wonderful organization that you have just poured your life into. And I know so many others as well. Well, Karis, when you are not in Haiti, when you're here in Nashville, and have just some time here in the States, what is your favorite place to go or what to do in town?
Oh man, I feel like this is like the hardest question. I love Nashville. I mean, someone told me recently, you know, Nashville used to be like the best kept secret. And I'm like so blessed that I was living here when it was. And it's so neat to see just how people just love it here and how it's grown and all the things that have happened. But it's really hard for me to pick one place. I have a few that I love, but I kind of like the old Nashville places. I don't know if anyone has heard of Arnold's, but it's like a meat and three place. I know there's like a million places to eat here in Nashville, but I just like Arnold's on 8th. That's like one of the things that I always think of when people ask me, what do you like about Nashville? It's one of my favorite places to go. And then I actually work down in downtown Franklin and I love this area. But there's so many places. Like I love the roller skating rink. That's one of my favorite places to go. I just had my birthday there, my 38th birthday last year ahead of the roller skating rink. But, I
think it should be an annual event. I had to miss last year and I'm still upset about it. So I think we need to plan it again for this year.
Yes. I will go there anytime, even if it's not anyone's birthday, but there's just so many, I feel like for me, Nashville has so many great memories and with when my family lived here and there's just so many incredible people. So I like going to the places that just were really pivotal during seasons of my life. So my old high school or just going to the mall that I used to work at, I think it's just, that's special to me just to see like all that has happened in my life since then and helps me kind of reflect on everything. So I don't know. Nashville's, it's amazing. It's the best place.
It's a special place.
It is.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like you though, I'm like, yes, let's try to like calm down on sharing about it, which is hard for me in my job because I'm always talking about it. But I'm like, yes, let's kind of like rein it in and keep it a little more to ourselves. But that's hard to do.
I know.
Well, Karis, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for all that you do. I always think this about you. You truly are one of the most beautiful people that I know on the inside and out. And I mean that, so much because I just see your heart in everything that you do and just admire how you've devoted your life to what you're doing. And I just think that is so special and I'm just honored to know you.
Thank you. I feel the same way. And I think it's just neat to see just how all of us have different gifts and you know, not everyone is called to go to Haiti and not everyone is called to be the Nashville mom or not everyone's called to be a full-time mom, you know, stay-at-home mom. But we all have different gifts. And I feel like just with anyone that's listening is you're called to something specific. And just because you're not in Haiti or just because you're not doing something that might appear to be, you know, sacrificial or whatever, you're still doing what you're called to do. So it's just neat. My passion is to see people find their purpose. And it's just been neat since getting to know you, just how you've found your purpose in this. And, I just encourage just everyone listening, just we're all called to something different. And that's really the most important thing at the end of the day. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, no matter where we are. So thanks for having me on this.
I always say this too, like, the loads of laundry that people do every day, the meals that they cook, they matter. Mm-hmm. Those little small things that you feel like, oh, I have to do this again. Like you know, how your mom went out of her way and your family went to help other people, it mattered. And now looking, you know, back on that, we can see the impact that it made. So yes, you're so right. Like, keep on keeping on, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep folding that laundry and you're making a difference.
Well, Karis, share one more time where people can find you on social media, website, where everybody can connect with you, because I know they're going to want to follow along.
Yeah, so you can find me. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that. My name is just Karis Hudson. That's K-A-R-R-I-S Hudson. And on our website, just danitaschildren.org. And if you want to email, you can email me personally. It's Karis, K-A-R-R-I-S, at danitaschildren.org. So yeah, just follow along. And Danita's Children is also on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that. So if you follow all of us, you can get a pretty good idea of what we do.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Karis.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you.